This series concerning core values helps to anchor our everyday discipleship.
This series, Core Values, helps strengthen the ministry of our church as well.
We lift up these core values because sometimes our vision leaks.
These core values have informed and sustained Christ followers through the centuries.
These core values continue to provide a foundation for our discipleship today.
Core values. Discipleship.
Our scripture today comes from Matthew 16, 24 and 25. This was one of the foundational passages in my life as a new young follower of Jesus. We read, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it.'" This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, hello, Christ Church and all of our friends joining us today. I am so glad that you're with us for online worship. If you're on Facebook or the website, say hello to other friends in the chat. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, we'd love you to send them to us. If you want to follow along on my outline, you can do so on the website or the Christ Church app. So, how are you doing today? You know, we've been enjoying some beautiful fall weather outside these last few days. I hope you have been able to enjoy it. The colors of the leaves are changing. The glory of the Lord is certainly wonderful to behold in God's creation. I trust you've been experiencing the glory of the Lord in your everyday life as well. You know what? God is always with us. He never leaves us or forsakes us, especially when we find ourselves in the middle of a storm. I pray that you are finding comfort and strength, joy and peace from God in whatever your circumstances may be. Amen? Amen. Today I'm continuing our series, Core Values. We've said that as we journey through life, there are some core values that anchor our everyday walk with Jesus and strengthen the ministry of our church. So far, we've talked about salvation, Scripture, the Holy Spirit, prayer, stewardship, worship, and fellowship. A key question that I've been asking is, in what new ways has God encouraged you to build up these core values in your life? I pray you're being strengthened and stretched to grow in each aspect of your walk with Jesus. Today I want to talk about another core value at the center of the Christian life, discipleship. Discipleship. When I was in high school playing football, one of the things that I remember as a young player was the influence of the older players. As a lowly sophomore, I looked up to those juniors and seniors. I was trying to take cues from them. I was trying to figure out, to understand what I was supposed to be doing. Of course, there's a natural inclination of older players to look down on younger guys, the lowly sophomores. And many of them did. They roughed us up. They played locker room pranks on us. But not everyone. I remember the particular attention a few seniors gave me as a sophomore. Kevin Casey was a senior wide receiver who always encouraged me in my passing, even though I'd probably never be throwing to him. Kirk Wiesner was a big offensive lineman. He was also a nice guy who tried to be friendly. Those guys and others really made an impression on me. Here's what I learned then. Every one of us need people we can look up to. We're all trying to find a way forward in life, and we're looking up to see if anyone is there to show us the way. And the people who take the time to help us, to encourage us, are folks that we never forget. After my sports days were over, guess what? I was still looking up. I was still needing help. And about that time, somebody pointed me to Jesus. And guess what? He provided me leadership and guidance that has been crucial to my life. And because of that, I have wanted to help Jesus in every way that I can ever since. That's what I want to talk about today. Another core value, discipleship. Discipleship is the journey, the process of following Jesus. You can post following in the chat. It's another core value at the heart of Christian faith. And of course, right off the bat, we need to talk about some common barriers to discipleship, barriers to following Jesus. So some people say, I don't have time. I don't have time to follow Jesus. And of course, we all know that there are many things competing for our time today, and it's easy to let a decision about following Jesus get shoved down or even off of our list. Well, others might say, I don't need Jesus or anyone else. You know, we all have an independent streak. We want to go through life our own way. And sometimes we just bow up with pride and we say, I can handle it. I don't need any help from anyone. Have you ever been there? Adolescence, young adulthood, middle age can be like that. But often life has a way of humbling us, bringing us to a point of need when we realize we can't do it all or we can't do it alone. We do need help. Have there been those times in your life? Still others say about discipleship, I like Jesus, I just don't like the church. And that's a problem because discipleship has always been a community thing. In Jesus' time and now, being a disciple has always meant being part of a community, part of a body of believers. Of course, it's a tough time for the church in America today. First, there's the negative reaction toward any group that represents authority in our culture today because, hey, we want to do our own thing. We don't want anybody or any organization telling us what we should or should not do. And then there are the generational differences. Each generation has its own likes, dislikes, perspectives, ways of doing things. And the church is supposed to reach out to all of them. So we reach out to the builders and the boomers and the Gen X busters and the Gen Y millennials and the Generation Z kids coming along with ministries and styles that are appropriate to all of them. And it's almost an impossible task. And so it's easy to say, I like Jesus, but I don't like the church because it's not meeting my needs. And of course, the church is not perfect either. So we have our challenges. But I would say this, here at Christ Church, our staff team is pretty remarkable. They work hard, they're so creative and motivated, and they love serving you. I count it a privilege to work with them. I've thought about putting a sign up about our staff in the office. It would read like this, the impossible we do at once. The unimaginable takes us 3 to 5 working days. We have a great staff. I hope you celebrate them like I do. Nonetheless, with these common barriers and some others that you might think of, many people today shy away from Jesus' call to discipleship. It's true. Many people are hesitant to consider Christ's call to follow Him. That's the way it is. So what do we do? What do we think about that? What do we believe? How should we respond? I want to lift up 4 convictions about discipleship that come out of my own reading of the Scripture. See what you think. First of all, I would say following Jesus involves self-denial. Post self-denial in the chat. Following Jesus is a high calling. It's not easy. It's not effortless. It's not for wimps. Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must put aside your selfish ambition, shoulder your cross, and follow me." That calls for a radical perspective. I'm gonna put aside my selfish ambition, my personal preferences, my self-centered existence, and I am going to shoulder a cross, something that represents sacrifice, something that represents a higher calling, something that calls for my best and my all. I am going to follow Jesus. Now, that's not easy to do. It's going to involve self-denial. The story is told of a young couple who were engaged in a most affectionate embrace when there came the sound of a key in the front door. The young lady broke away at once, eyes wide with alarm. "Oh no," she cried, "my parents have come home early. Quick, jump out the window." The young man, equally alarmed, made a quick step toward the window, and then he stopped. "I can't," he said. "We're on the 13th floor." "For goodness sake," cried the young lady in exasperation, "do you really think this is any kind of a time to be superstitious?" Some self-denial is more costly than others. Remember this, following Jesus involves self-denial. A second conviction, following Jesus is not the popular choice. If you are into following the crowd and doing what everybody else is doing, riding the popular wave, then following Jesus is not going to be an easy thing for you to do. Jesus himself talked about it like this in Matthew 7:13-14. "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." You want some straight talk from your pastor? Here it is. The majority of folks don't follow Jesus. That's a fact. Most people don't want to follow Jesus because, hey, we want to do our own thing. We want to follow our own pursuits. Jesus was pretty matter of fact when he said, "Broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." If you and I are serious about following Jesus, we'd better get used right now to the fact that we're going to find ourselves on the narrow road where not as many people travel. Now, personally, I don't like that. I wish it were different. I wish there were all kinds of people on the road and the majority of people on the road. But the reality is, yes, all kinds of people on the road, but it's a narrow road and there are not as many of us on that road. We have to be prepared to deal with that fact, that reality. Following Jesus is not the popular choice. Here's another thing. Following Jesus will involve suffering. Following Jesus will involve self-denial. It won't necessarily be popular, and it will involve suffering too. Wow, Bob, why is that? Because when you begin to think the way Jesus thinks and act the way Jesus acts, you'll find yourself naturally entering into the pain and suffering of others. You won't be easily able to ignore hurting people. You'll try to help them. You'll be drawn to give time and energy and money, whatever it takes to advance the kingdom of God. Here's how it works. You've gotten to know Christ personally. You've experienced the joy and the peace of your salvation. You've come to understand Christ's higher calling of discipleship, of following Jesus. You've checked out the other options, the world, other faith traditions, life with Christ, life without Christ. You've decided, "I want to go the distance with Jesus." But know this, it won't be without suffering. Paul reminds believers in Philippians 1:29, "For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to what? Suffer for Him." Sometimes you'll experience hostility because of your stand with Christ. Other times it might be indifference. Often you might experience loneliness and isolation because of Christ. You say no to some things and it sets you apart, and there's pain in that. Sometimes your convictions will collide with those around you. Who enjoys being scoffed at or ridiculed? My fourth biblical conviction is this: following Jesus is worth it. Type "worth it" in the chat. If discipleship is not easy, if it involves self-denial, the narrow road, suffering, then why does anyone choose to do it? Why would anyone want to become a disciple of Christ? Remember this: because Jesus is worth following. Because of who He is and because of what He has done. Who is Jesus? He is the Son of God, the Messiah, the Anointed One. What has He done? He has paid the price once and for all that we human beings might be saved from the law of sin and death. God in Christ has provided us the free gift of salvation. We simply accept it and receive it by faith. So, what is our response to Jesus' call to discipleship? I lift up quickly three things. First of all, be a fully devoted follower of Jesus. Type "fully" in the chat. A fully devoted follower. Make the decision to put aside the other distractions in your life. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, "No one can serve two masters. He'll either hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Now, though money isn't the only distraction there is, it can be a major one. Apparently, that was true in Jesus' day. It's certainly true in our day. Many people are caught up in the pursuit of money at all cost. It's idolatry. They develop an unbalanced perspective about money that creates the tension, the struggle, and strife in their own life and with others. What's most important is that we love and serve God first and foremost in our lives. I pray in your life and mine, people will see that God is first in our lives, and everything else comes after that. Otherwise, we have an idol, something that has come between us and God. So be a fully devoted follower of Jesus. Secondly, in response to Jesus' call to discipleship, we should get connected with other disciples. If you want to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus, one of the next best things to do is to get connected with other disciples. Who do you know at work or school, among your family and friends, here at the church or elsewhere, that you can team up with for encouragement and fellowship? Proverbs 27:17 says this: "As iron sharpens iron, a friend sharpens a friend." When you're connected with others in Christ, they sharpen you, and you sharpen them, and the community of faith will carry you a lot further than if you try to run solo. The Tulsa Run was last weekend. I can't run it anymore because of the pain distance running causes in my lower back. But what I used to love about it is all those other runners running alongside of me and pushing me along. Running with all those other guys and gals had me running a lot faster than if I was just out running alone. Why is that? Well, iron sharpens iron. A friend sharpens a friend. Get connected with other disciples, and they will help you grow stronger in your life with Christ. Finally, I would say, follow in His steps. Remember how in high school I was seeking someone to look up to? The truth is, we all need someone like that. Who are you looking to? For some, it's a parent, a relative, a friend, a distant hero. When I was a little kid, it was Lenny Dawson of the Kansas City Chiefs, the quarterback there. And it was Freddie Patek of the Kansas City Royals. He was my favorite shortstop. When I started working in the church, people like Billy Graham and John Maxwell and Rick Warren got my attention. But no one even comes close, in my estimation, to the person and work of Jesus Christ. The more I've learned about the life He lived, the way He lived it, and the vision that He has for all humanity, the more I am captivated by Jesus. There ain't nobody quite like Jesus. In 1 Peter 2:21, the Apostle Peter says, "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps." If your life and mine is going to be finished one day, may we run a race that counts, a life that makes a difference. I'm convinced that will happen best when we look up to Him, to the one who made us and saved us, and we choose to follow in His steps. Remember this, our discipleship, following Jesus, is worth the price, worth the sacrifice. There's nobody else like Jesus. Amen? Let's pray about that. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, gracious Lord, we thank You for the life and witness of Jesus. Throughout the ages, His words still ring true. If anyone would come after Me, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow Me. Oh Lord, we understand this is not easy. Following Jesus is no picnic. At times it's hard. It involves suffering. Sometimes we can feel isolated and alone. But Lord, He showed us the way. He gave us the example so that we could follow, that we could follow in His steps. Heavenly Father, help each of us to do that with new power and new conviction again or anew this day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen. Hey, if you want to visit with me about the message, I want to hear from you. Perhaps you want to experience deeper discipleship. I'd love to talk with you. Maybe you would say, "What I really need is Christ. I want to be reconciled with God. I need that forgiveness that Jesus can give." If that's you, simply pray this prayer. "Jesus, I need Your saving grace. I want You to come into my life. I'm sorry for my sins. I believe that You died for me. Right now, I trust You as my Savior and receive Your Holy Spirit into my life." If you've prayed that prayer, I'd say this, hallelujah! Welcome into God's family. I'd love for you to tell somebody about it. I'd be thrilled to hear from you as well. What a great day in the body of Christ. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. We want to hear from you. Use the app or the website. And of course, thank you for your generosity. You know, giving is a tangible way to thank God for His goodness. You cannot outgive God. Go online to make a gift or turn in a Stewardship 2022 estimate of giving as we're making plans for the new year. You know, it's going to take everyone's help to do everything we want to do in 2022. Thank you for your prayerful participation and generosity. Be sure to take advantage of our discipleship opportunities. Find all the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember this, discipleship, following Jesus, is worth the price, worth the sacrifice. For now, who do you know that needs to know about the love and grace and forgiveness of Jesus Christ? Today, on this first Sunday of the month, as an act of worship and praise, we are celebrating Holy Communion. We remember what Christ has done. Please get your elements there at home, bread, juice, whatever you plan to use. Before we come to the communion table, remember, we examine our hearts and acknowledge our sins and need of forgiveness. Let me share this prayer of confession. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We've not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, hear this good news for you. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. You are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. On the night that He gave Himself up for us, we remember that Jesus gathered His disciples. He took bread. He gave thanks. He broke the bread, gave it to them, and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, He took the cup. He gave thanks, gave it to His disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Jesus, He was pointing to the forgiveness He was about to win for us on the cross. He would offer Himself as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Because of His holy sacrifice, God extends forgiveness to us and calls us to forgive others also. And so, in remembrance of these, Your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, Lord, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. And share it with me if you know it. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Let's say that again. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out Your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and juice. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood. By Your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at His heavenly banquet. Through Your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in Your holy church, all honor and glory is Yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. You may take your bread now and prepare to eat it. This is the body of Christ broken for you. And now take your juice. This is the blood of Christ poured out for you. Amen. Amen. So in gratitude, we have remembered and celebrated the great victory that Jesus Christ won on the cross for you and me. He is the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world. I hope your heart is filled with joy and gratitude again today because of everything God has done for you through His Son, Jesus Christ.
Did you know the Marvel Universe has a new superhero called Aluminum Man? Aluminum Man.
Yeah, apparently he doesn't stop bad guys, but he foils their plans.
Parenting is never easy. We have a monthly support group for hurting parents that will meet Sunday, November 14th at 5 p.m. at the church. Contact Kathy Feist or Jill Prey for more information on how to participate. You don't have to suffer alone. There are parents who understand and care.
The men's breakfast will be Saturday, November 13th at 8 a.m. Our speaker will be Mr. Aaron Johnson, an accomplished leader with a diverse experience in business, ministry, and community development. Mr. Johnson is the founder of the Oasis Fresh Market and former director of the Tulsa Dream Center. He has an inspiring personal story to share.
At the age of 17, he invented the art song. His symphonies are a staple of concerts worldwide, and he died at age 31. This month, we'll see a documentary about Franz Schubert, another in the Now Hear This series from PBS. We'll also see Ukrainian Valentina Lisitsa perform piano versions of some of Schubert's songs. November 7th at 2 p.m. in the movie room.
You can find all this information and more on our website, cumctulsa.com.